This is Tim Doyle, lead pastor of Restoration Church. Welcome to our weekly podcast featuring encouraging messages from our Sunday morning get-togethers in historic downtown St. Joseph. For more info, visit restorationstj.com.
We continue on in our series called The Basics. Felt like it would be good to begin the year just retracing some ancient steps, some basics of our faith. And you know, I'm a topical teacher. That's kind of my style. I like to get on topics and instead of teaching verse by verse, and that's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that's a great way to teach as well. Just my personal style is to get a particular topic and go down that track. But this sermon series, to begin the new year, I really felt it was important. We have so many of us that come from so many different backgrounds, just to sort of get our laser beam focused in on the basics of our Christian faith, what it means to follow Jesus, to call yourself a Christian. That happens to be the topic today, following Jesus. Anybody remember what last week's topic was? Fear God. Good. Very good. So fear God, follow Jesus. Those are the two ways we're starting off this series. And following Jesus, you know, as Francis said, we tend to kind of treat it casually like you would the game Follow the Leader, which isn't that tough to do, right? Unless the leader you're following asks you to give up your life, unless, you know, he's not just playing silly games, but really asking you to give up your own plans and your desires to follow Jesus. And Jesus has different thoughts and different priorities than we do. God says, my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And it's so much easier to sell Jesus with the pitch, hey, you'll just get whatever you want and life will be easy. And anybody here following Jesus and found that to be the case, that you always get what you want and life is always easy? Gosh, if so, I want to hear from you, because I haven't found that to be the Jesus way yet in my life. Jesus is convicting. His ways are convicting. His ways are socially unacceptable. It's not the broad, easy path, as he says. It's the narrow gate. It's a path that's difficult. And if it were easy, everybody would be just wanting to walk it. But the truth is, naturally, we don't live a sacrificial life. Naturally, we want our own priorities, our own way, our own desires. And there are many aspects of Jesus' life that everybody would want to emulate, right? Jesus said, love. Well, that's an easy one, man. You know, I want to love. He said to care for the poor. Okay, you can do that. Feed the hungry. Sure, I'm all about that. But Jesus just, he gets too extreme when he starts talking about things like loving your enemies. You think about that. Loving your enemies. Everybody's been treated ugly once in a while in their life. To be kind to that person who treated you bad. To deny yourself. Deny your own wants and desires to seek his kingdom first. Those are really hard and difficult truths to embrace. And although we love the idea of caring for the poor, let's get honest. How many of us would give up our shelter, our comfort, our resources to ease the suffering of someone else? Really? Now, come on. Let's be real. We can talk in altruistic terms, but in reality, it's not an easy choice to make, and neither is following Jesus. Following Jesus is countercultural. Not only does it go against the way that we naturally tick, but it also goes against the way the world that we see around us. It's very, very difficult. And we can easily read about and talk about and even worship Jesus. But when it comes down to this following him, a lot of people who are serious about that, most of us would try to talk him out of it, right? You know? Knowing the cost. And when we look at our life, here's a question I want you to ponder this week. Think about this as you're walking through the week. How well would you say you're doing at following Jesus? How well are you doing, truly? And why would you, what evidence or what reasons would you give behind that answer? That's a great question for you to think about this week. I mean, the truth is none of us will be exactly like Jesus, not in this life. But the goal of every believer should be, in following him, to become more like him. That every day that we live, every opportunity we get, we're growing more and more like Jesus. The problem is that we are human. And we get easily distracted by stuff. We get, you know, kind of discouraged. We get tired. You know, maybe we've tried this following Jesus and we failed. So we kind of give up. Or maybe we've never ever really thought about what it would be like to follow Jesus. So the question that each of us have to really answer is, do I really want to follow Jesus? Do I really? And that's a fair question, and it's an honest question, and one that we really have to answer. Do I really want to follow Jesus? And before we can really truthfully answer that, we have to factor in the cost, because there is a cost to follow Jesus. Jesus gave his life for us. Well, there's a cost that we have to pay as well, and he made it very clear in Luke chapter 14. We're going to start in verse 25. I'm just going to read through verse 27 today, Joel. It says, large crowds were traveling with Jesus. Wow, I would like that. I would like large crowds to follow, to travel with me on this path, because I would feel successful if I had a large crowd, right? And Jesus turns to them and says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Those are some strong words. Joel and I were talking about this morning about what does he mean? Is Jesus advocating hate here? And I would say no. I don't think he's advocating hate, but he's using this as an example. It's like when he said, you must be like a child. You must be a little child to enter the kingdom. He wasn't telling us all to shrink, you know, and become toddlers again. It was a metaphor. I think this is the same kind of a thing. You have to be willing to the point of walking away from things that would be as difficult as walking away from family. People that you know, you really might care about to be able to follow Jesus, if it's the choice, if it comes down to that choice, you have to be willing to hate the thing that is not causing you or allowing you to follow Jesus. And these are strong, strong words. There's a model of ministry today called attractional ministry. And it's the thought that, you know, what you do is you want it to be so attractive to people that they would just, they can't resist. They want to follow Jesus. You know, what you're selling, which in the case of the church would be Jesus. And I would say this is not an example of attractional ministry, what Jesus just said there. I don't think that's going to attract a lot of people, but it was the truth. And I'm all for attracting people to follow Jesus. That's why we have heat on today, right? That's why we gave you comfy chairs. I mean, we want to minister to your whole body, right? Even where you sit. We want to, you know, obviously provide the best possible environment for you to be able to follow Jesus. And yet there is this factor that we cannot escape, that there is a cost to pay. When Jesus told his disciples, follow me, they immediately dropped their nets, they left their homes, they left their families, and they followed. I mean, literally, they, with their legs, right, they followed. It wasn't in their hearts, it was with their bodies. Which is kind of a strange concept for us today to kind of connect to, because nobody's asked you to do that, to give up everything, to literally follow them around. And if they do, I would say run the other direction. Okay, that's kind of strange. But there's an example there for us. We don't literally hang out with Jesus and follow him around, but guess what? He has sent his Spirit, who lives in the life of a believer, to guide and direct, and we lead as he follows. So in a sense, we are following Jesus, and that's going to affect our lives. It's going to change things like our behaviors and our attitudes and our activities, our actions. It's going to be the day-to-day things. You know, I mean, there are some things I already do that are going to look different if I'm a follower of Jesus. I may not do different things, but I'll do them differently. I mean, I already talk to my wife every day, right? But if I talk to her in a rude and demeaning way, that's going to change if I'm a Jesus follower. It better. I'm going to treat her with respect and love and kindness and tenderness. Or if someone treats me rude when I'm checking out at Lowe's, you know, and the cashier's just not very pleasant, how I respond back, if I'm reciprocally rude or if instead I choose to be kind and to consider that person and where they're at in their life. See, it affects the day-to-day, how we live, the things that we see, the things that we touch. Francis Frangipane wrote this week. I thought it was really good. He says, people often ask me to identify the greatest spirit opposing them in life. And I usually respond by saying, Yahweh, because God opposes the proud. Think about that. The greatest spirit opposing you might be God, because your ways are coming into conflict with his ways. Isn't that good? It's like, wow, you know, we're looking for some spiritual enemy to blame. Sometimes it's me. Sometimes I'm the problem, and God has to deal with me. I have to deal with my own ambitions and my worries, my fears of what people will think about me, the temptations the enemy brings. Sometimes even my own family can cause me to hesitate in following Jesus if I feel it's going to be an unpopular decision. You guys know my testimony. I mean, there's been some pretty hard things that have come in my life from my family that is just because I've chosen to follow Jesus. And you have to make a choice, you know, how you're going to live, which way you're going to go. Mark 10, Jesus gives another example of following him. This is a really hard one. He says to a young man who's wanting to follow him, he says, go and sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. And at this, the man's face fell. He went away sad. Why? Why would he go away sad? The next few words, because he had great wealth. Now listen, Jesus is not against having great wealth. That's not the deal. But Jesus knew the position wealth had taken in this young man's heart. And he identified the thing that was preventing him from following Jesus. Verse 23, Jesus looked around and said this to the disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said once again, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. He's not dissing wealth. But if wealth becomes an obstacle, it's a problem. By the way, being poor can also be an obstacle. So it's not about money. It's about the condition of your heart following Jesus. Verse 26, the disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, who then can be saved? Great question. These disciples were sharp, right? They were beginning to understand the impact of the high cost of following Jesus. In verse 27, Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is what? Impossible. I want to stop right there for a second. That's the answer. With man, this is impossible. Kind of life that means following Jesus, going where he leads, does not come naturally. Naturally, I'm going to go my own way. And I would have stopped following him long ago if it was all about being possible with man. But the truth is, with man it's impossible, but if we're going to follow Jesus, we can't depend on our own strength, our own abilities, our own logic, our own intellect. To be honest with you, with man, Jesus said, it's impossible. But when we depend on the supernatural strength, it's not a natural decision, it's a supernatural act, and the Holy Spirit makes it possible. Next week, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit and his role in this life following Jesus. But for today, I just want to say that we cannot forget the God factor. You know, forget the X factor on TV. What you need is the God factor. And the God factor is what Jesus says in Mark 10:27. With man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. Say, with God. You've got to remember, when you come up against an obstacle that prevents you, or even your own flesh that doesn't want to do something, or it wants to do something that's counter to the will of God, you've got to say, with God, that is how I've chosen to live my life. With God, not separate from God, not leaning on my own strength, my own understanding, my own impressiveness, but I choose to live my life with God. Jesus said in another place, it's apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing of permanence, nothing that will last, nothing that will lead you down this path of righteousness, following Jesus. With, you can't even begin to think about following Jesus without understanding your dependence upon his Spirit. It's inseparable. You cannot do it. You can try to live a good moral life, and good for you, but that's different than this life that Jesus is describing. Tomorrow, in a national holiday, we're going to recognize a man who lived a life that made a difference, made an impact. And I think it'll be a strong message for us as a body of Christ to come together and make a decision to follow Jesus as Dr. King did. This is a man who was driven by a dream that was birthed in the heart of God, and he was fueled by the power of the Holy Spirit. He had a dream in his heart. That's what I love about our buildings is, you know, the Abraham Lincoln connection. I think about the dream that was in his heart, and I'm thinking, we kind of almost physically are a part. When he was traveling the nation, speaking on the evils of slavery, that dream was hosted in our building. That's kind of cool to think about to me, because that dream is also something I host in my heart. And what I want us to host as a church is this understanding that God's way is the only way, that we follow Jesus. No matter what seems socially acceptable or personally beneficial to me is immaterial. What matters is the heart of God. That's the same tool he's given you to follow him. Is his Spirit. If you are a believer, you have the Spirit of God living in you. And I want more of that every day. I want to be more like him. I want to be changed into his image so that the things that matter to him matter to me, like they did Dr. King. Another thing that God gives you, another tool, are fellow believers. To follow Jesus, you're going to need the love, support, encouragement, the physical aid of other believers in your life. Dr. King didn't do what he did alone, did he? You saw the numbers of people that locked arms and marched, not in violent protest, but in solidarity. I just believe they were following Jesus, is what I believe, pointing out the evils that were taking place in the earth that still do. How do we follow Jesus? By praying and asking God to fill us with his Spirit. Because I can't stand up here and preach to you. I can give you funny words maybe, or maybe good advice. But unless it's empowered by his Spirit, it will not make a difference in your life. The same with your walk with Jesus. You can call yourself a Christian. To me, it just became so obvious when Francis Chan was talking about, you know, people will say, I'm a Jesus follower, but their lives don't look anything like Jesus. But we allow that today, and we allow people to call themselves Christians who do that. To pray and ask for the Holy Spirit to challenge us, to change us, to give us the strength and wisdom to carry it out, and fellow believers in covenant to walk together. That is what it looks like to follow Jesus. I'm grateful for some great examples like Dr. King, and tonight when we come together at Sanctuary, that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to pray and confess our dependence on God, confess our failure to follow Jesus, and say, God, we want to do it in a way that is in partnership with your Spirit. The only way we'll change this community. Every one of you would say, yeah, I want to be a part of changing our community. It's not going to happen apart from his Spirit. It's the only way it's going to happen. When we confess our dependence, our desperation for him, and that's when this full life that God promised comes to us. Francis referenced Mark 10. I'm going to go over that too, because this is where it gets down to the nitty-gritty and the price that is to be paid. And yes, there's a price, but there's also a reward. There's also a reward. Mark 10, Peter speaks up and says, Lord, we have left everything to follow you. It's sort of like, you know, you can just kind of feel this collective groan in the spirit of the disciples. Because, I mean, this message is hard that Jesus is preaching. And Peter's like, Lord, we've left everything to follow you. It's like, what more? And Jesus says, truly I tell you, no one has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecutions. I love it that he put that in there. Along with persecutions. Oh, by the way, read the fine print, right? It's not going to be easy. But not only in this age, but in the age to come. And Jesus' heart is that you would experience this full life that never can be achieved by following our own way. Listen, I'm not whining. I'm not playing the pity violin here. I'm just telling you, there have been multiple occasions in my following Jesus that it sure felt like it'd be best just to give up and go another way, you know, just to chuck it. I mean, you know, serving on the mission field and watching my friend and his wife, you know, go through what they did. She was killed in a car accident, and I had to tell him that his wife was dead, and we're serving Jesus on the mission field when this happens. You know, to be serving Jesus as a married man and holding my baby girl and watch her die in my arms, my firstborn, that was a great opportunity to check out. I thought bad things weren't supposed to happen to good people. I thought Christians were immune from this. Or watching Will suffer 3 months in the ICU, not knowing if he was going to live or die. I mean, that was like, you know, you're not sure if this Jesus path is the one you want to be on or not. Or trying to step in and help a dying church only to have the denomination sue you personally for doing so. And those are great exit ramps to get off. If you want to get off, those are fantastic ones to chuck out and say, no thanks, I think I'll do something different. If it was about everything going well and going right and a life of luxury, none of us would probably fuss at following Jesus. But instead, Jesus says, you've got to take up your cross. The cross is an instrument of death. But in that death, in that choosing his way, that's where we truly find life, but we can't have it both ways. Can I say this fleshly? Oh, I wish we could. Can I just be honest? Wouldn't it be great to have it both ways? But Jesus isn't about torturing us. He's about giving us the life that he died that we could enjoy. And as tempting as those other doors might seem to be, that are all around us, and you'll face them when you walk out of here. There'll be things that you're tempted to look at, thoughts you're tempted to think, words you're tempted to say, actions you're tempted to do, that are just so many distractions from the real life found in Jesus. And I'll tell you, church, if we choose wisely, we'll choose to follow Jesus. And what will happen as a result, not only will I find life, will you find life, but we'll be a doorway for others to come into contact with this life-giving God if we choose to follow Jesus. I can tell you this, that for all the stuff I feel like I've chosen against my flesh, chosen not to give up, chosen to endure the abuse and to not take the easy way, I can tell you what, I wouldn't choose any other life. I stand here today a blessed man. I should not have the life. I shouldn't be alive. The way I was going would have led me to death. If not physically, then emotionally, spiritual death. And man, I'm blessed. I shouldn't have the wife or the family that I have. And even though I've lost some things because of my desire to follow Jesus, look what I've gained. I got a whole crew of brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and moms and dads and spiritual sons and daughters. They're kind of wonky, but I love them. I choose it any day. over what I thought would have brought me life. I choose to follow Jesus. Today, I felt like, and I never do this, because, you know, my heart really is, I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. I'm not trying to manipulate anybody. But I really feel like if Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me, probably means we're going to have to stand up on our feet and take some steps. So today I want you to stand up on your feet. And I'm going to first address those who've never said yes to Jesus, okay? Again, I'm not trying to embarrass anybody, but I really want you to put some feet to your faith today. But I'm not going to ask you to do it alone. See, church, this is where we mess up. Evangelical church says, okay, raise your hand, come forward, that's all wonderful. But if I just read this correctly, another gift God gives us, another tool is the companionship of fellow believers. So how about if we all respond together today? Those who say they're following Jesus and those who want to, what if we all responded together? Would that be an encouragement to those who would like to take the step, but they're just kind of afraid? And we all remember what that felt like, right? Remember when you accepted Jesus, it was kind of scary. Didn't know exactly what you were getting into. But then if you look around and say, but I got some people with me and it's going to be okay. So today, I'm just going to ask you to do something that's out of your comfort zone. I'm going to just ask if you want to follow Jesus, whether you currently are or you want to for the first time, if you just come up and join me up front today. Let's just make a big mess here at the altar this morning. I know there's not a lot of room here, and I certainly don't want you to feel compelled to come because everybody's coming. But what this is saying is, I've made a decision. I've made a choice. I'm choosing, even if it looks and sounds kind of strange. See, that's kind of what it's about. I can't tell you the times that I've felt and probably looked strange to people because of decisions I've made. One thing, I just want to brag on Nancy for a second, because Nancy is I just am so blessed. Her heart for the Humboldt School that we serve up the street. I mean, you know, Nancy's talking about the Valentine's party that they won't get to have. I mean, at least not the kind that probably we would like them to have, because they just don't have a lot of peripheral support. So to say it that way kindly, there's just not a lot of people that care. And there's a lady who cares. You know, it's called following Jesus. And I just would encourage you, if you would like to help Nancy provide a Valentine's Day party for those Humboldt kids, that would be a way you can take up your cross. I mean, it's not convenient. There's other things you could be doing. But if you want to follow Jesus, guess what? Jesus loves those kids at Humboldt School. So you could talk to Nancy or to Kay. Where's Miss Kay? Right here. One of those two ladies, and they'll hook you up. I mean, it would be awesome that every class could have a Valentine's Day party. It's going to take a lot of bodies to make that happen. But see, that's what following Jesus looks like. You got to lay something down. You're just like, oh, but I got a million things to do. I look at the time. And okay. I'm not saying Jesus doesn't love you if you don't do that. I'm just saying you're kind of missing out. It's like, why should I spend $1,600 to go to the DR? Go and find out. Because I'll tell you what, when you see those little boys and girls run to you like a rock star because you dared to come down and just play dolls with them, let them comb your hair, you know? It's like, just hang out with them and love on them. I wouldn't choose anything else. I'd go back in a heartbeat. As hot and uncomfortable as it is, I'll be there. Because it's so much better. That's where you find life. And you all, you know, stood up and walked forward this morning. I just want to say we're in this together. Look around. These are the brothers and sisters that God has chosen to give you to walk with. And you don't do it alone. So would you put a hand on the shoulder of someone next to you? Everybody touch somebody in an appropriate way, please. We're just going to pray. Lord, I thank you for my brothers and sisters. And we stand together, Lord, today, arm in arm. We have said we've decided to follow Jesus. And like the hymn says, no turning back. Would you say those words after me, church? Say, no turning back. Lord, we don't want to be liars. We don't want to sing alive. And we say, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Lord, I pray that by your Holy Spirit, we would make wise decisions. We would make the wise decision. There's really one wise decision. Everything else is kind of foolish. We have decided to follow Jesus. And we understand what that means. The cost. Lord, I give you permission to remind us this week. You said you were going to follow Jesus. Remember that you stood up there up front and touched someone you didn't know and together made a covenant? Lord, we make a covenant with you and with one another today. We have decided to follow Jesus. Help us be a church that humbly, simply walks that truth out in every area of our life. And I believe, Jesus, that we'll have a church that will impact the city. And people will come and they'll be loved, but they'll also know following Jesus is the way. We will not compromise that truth, God. In order to gain a crowd, we won't compromise that truth. But Father, neither will we let religion be a stumbling block to people and cause them to have to perform for our approval. Jesus, one thing is required. You said, do justly, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. Follow Jesus. No turning back. Thank you for the grace, Holy Spirit. We cannot do it in our own strength. We are totally, utterly dependent on you. Only you have the words of life. Where else will we go? We love you, Father. In Jesus' name.
Thank you so much for listening today. To connect with or support the vision of this pioneering work in historic downtown St. Joseph, visit restorationstj.com, or better yet, come see us in person this Sunday at 9 and 10:45 a.m. We hope to see you soon.